From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
This is not fiction. These women did the work. You know, they really existed. They really did this. They really, I can show you the NASA documents, you know, if you want. I think that there's so few of these stories where it's really a great sweeping narrative, heroic characters, protagonists, these African-American women. Yes, it is. Absolutely true. You know, a lot of times people, you know, want to know how I wrote the book, you know, which is an interesting question. You know, it took 6 years. I spent a lot of time researching, like we were talking about before, just immersing myself in the details of what happened before I could even really start writing in, you know, in the way that I wanted to. So, you know, and I a lot of the questions involved. How do I get in touch with Katherine Johnson? You know, I mean, she is somebody who, you know, for obvious reasons, everyone would love to spend time with. You know, I'm so lucky to have spent time with her. But a lot of times people, you know, they're like, I want to meet Mrs. Johnson. How can I do it? You know, because she is just that kind of a person.
Margot Lee Shetterly, author of Hidden Figures, The American Dream and the Untold Story of the Black Women Mathematicians Who Helped Win the Space Race, published by William Morrow. Imagine the first scientists and engineers trying to send rockets and eventually people into space. Would you be surprised to know that many of the researchers who helped the technological advances that made space flight possible were women? And they were African-American women who played a critical role in the aeronautic industry even as Jim Crow was alive and well. Think about it. With no electronic computers, the space program had to rely on an elite group of mathematicians capable of doing the most challenging calculations by hand. Calculations that would launch men into space, that would forever expand our knowledge of the universe. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Hidden Figures with author Margot Lee Shetterly in Black America.
They have been a part of the story. They are the story. You know, they went to black colleges. They are from the Hampton. My mom's from Lynchburg, Virginia.
Right.
They're both from Virginia. My dad's from Norfolk. You know, he worked at NASA with these women. You know, my mom went to Hampton University and went to school with a lot of the children of the women that I write about. You know, they know these women from, you know, the sorority, from, you know, church.
Mm-hmm.
There are just so many connections. And so for me, perhaps the most satisfying thing of all of this is to have written something that really is a love letter to my hometown and to all of the institutions that allowed these women and my parents, you know, and the whole generation of African Americans to advance in American society.
In a book, Hidden Figures, The American Dream and the Untold Story of the Black Women Mathematicians Who Helped Win the Space Race, Margot Lee Shetterly tells the phenomenal true story of these African-American female mathematicians at NASA who were at the leading edge of the feminist and civil rights movement, whose calculation helped fuel some of America's greatest achievements in space. Before John Glenn orbited the Earth or Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, this group of dedicated female mathematicians known as, quote, human computers, end of quote, used pencil, slide rules, and adding machines to calculate the numbers that would launch rockets and astronauts into space. Among these problem solvers were a group of exceptionally talented African-American women, some of the brightest minds of their generation. Originally relegated to teaching math in the South's segregated public schools, they were called into service during the labor shortage of World War II, when America's aeronautic industry was in dire need of anyone who had the right stuff. Recently, In Black America spoke with Margot Lee Shetterly.
It's been a whirlwind, I have to say. You know, the book came out in September. It has gotten just amazing reception. You know, I found out two nights ago, it hit the New York Times bestseller list. The first week it was out, the hardcover, which, as you can imagine, was just an elation. And, you know, the movie premiered in New York a couple of nights ago. And I was at the DC premiere for the movie and two nights ago and found out, I guess, that the paperback is on the bestseller list. And yesterday I went to the White House and I had the honor of introducing our First Lady at a Hidden Figures screening. So every time I think it can't get more exciting, somehow the excitement level just amps up again.
Tell our audience, what was life like growing up in Hampton, Virginia?
Well, it was really a wonderful thing. I think, you know, during the time, everything just seemed normal. You know, it was a town with a, you know, very sort of quote unquote middle American, you know, kind of existence, but a very professional, you know, very tightly knit Black community. And many of those people, including my father, worked at NASA. And, you know, my father worked with a lot of these women that I write about, Katherine Johnson, Mary Jackson, Christine Darden, you know, and beyond that group of Black women, a large group of women from all backgrounds, working as mathematicians, scientists, engineers. So I was really lucky to grow up seeing that not only was it possible for Black people and for women and for Black women specifically to do this kind of work, it was possible for them to excel at the highest level.
Now, you talk about you went home for Christmas about 6 years ago, you and your husband, and your father loved to tell tales. Tell us how that particular conversation led you to write the book.
Sure. Well, yeah, you know, you go back home and, you know, we drove around. It was almost exactly 6 years ago because we were home for Christmas 6 years ago. You know, my dad is a chatty fellow and, you know, they've lived in that community for a long time. So whenever we're going around town, you know, I always run into people that we know. And that particular day we had gone to church, we ran into a former Sunday school teacher, a lady named Mrs. Kathleen Land, who has since passed away. But, you know, we had this, you know, nice chat that morning after church with Miss Land. And, you know, so my dad was talking to us and he was talking about how she had worked at NASA as a computer, you know, as a mathematician. They were called computers in those days. You know, it just meant it was someone who computed. And it had turned into a broader conversation about the work that she had done, about, you know, the work that these other women had done, about Mrs. Johnson and how she had calculated the launch window for the astronauts. And, you know, my husband, who is, he's not from Virginia, but, you know, we spend a lot of time there. He was like, wait a minute, you know, this is a really important story. It happened right here. You know, I just met somebody who was working at NASA doing this, you know, Mrs. Land. How come nobody's heard about it? You know, this should be in the history books. And, you know, I think when you grow up in a place, you know, even if you're around people that are, you know, that are extraordinary, like a lot of these people were, you kind of take it for granted. You don't maybe look at them with the eyes that you should. And this was a moment when somebody who wasn't from there had a fresh look and said, this is amazing. And so it really forced me to say, you know, I know these women, but I don't really know the story. Mm-hmm. You know, why were they there? How are there so many women? Why were so many of those women Black? And, you know, in a time when Jim Crow segregation was still the law of the land, somehow these ladies ended up at NASA. And, you know, I want to know about that. And that was the beginning of Hidden Figures.
Now, when you talk about Langley Research Center, that was a big complex, wasn't it?
It was a pretty big complex. And it was really for, you know, considered to be the center of aeronautical research, you know, in the world at its heyday. Mm-hmm. And it is the birthplace of the space program. So all of the astronauts, you know, John Glenn, Alan Shepard, Gus Grissom, you know, all those guys that, you know, that we see in the, you know, the photos, the old photos, the old newsreels, you know, John Glenn, may he rest in peace. You know, all those guys came to the NASA Langley Research Center in my hometown of Hampton, Virginia.
Now, in the book, you talk about Hampton, Virginia, being a military hub. A lot of servicemen would come there for training and leave, and there was a lot of going on there. How did that affect you as a young girl?
Well, you know, it really did mean, I think, that, you know, the community that I lived in, even though it was in the Jim Crow South, there were a lot of different kinds of people. You know, there were people from all over because, as you know, military people get transferred from place to place. So I went to school with a lot of those, you know, children of military people. It meant that it was, you know, at the time, a very economically stable place because there were those federal jobs, you know. I mean, the kind of jobs like my father had, which meant that you could, you know, provide your family with a middle-class living, that, you know, you had certain idea that your kids would go to college, you know, that you could buy a house. So there were, you know, there were a lot of real advantages. You know, of course, now that with federal government cutbacks, it's not nearly as stable. But, you know, from the 1940s in World War II, you know, through to the 1980s and, you know, into part of the 90s. It was an economically stable kind of place that was made possible by the fact of all of these, you know, these military-related jobs.
Katherine Johnson has been featured as, you know, one of the major players in the film that's out. But you start your book with Dorothy Vaughan. Why her?
Well, you know, just as, you know, I think a lot of times we see the big moments, we don't know who's behind it. So mm-hmm. we see the astronauts and the moon landing. We don't know that, you know, for Apollo 11, it took 400,000 people to get those astronauts there. You know, we see the amazing moment with Martin Luther King, but we don't all know that, you know, a lot of his success and what he was able to do was built on decades of hard work by people like, you know, Charles Hamilton Houston and A. Philip Randolph. You know, and then you see Katherine Johnson, who deserves absolutely all the accolades that she's received because she is a brilliant woman and she played a critical role in our nation's space program. But until now, you know, we haven't seen the people who really boosted her up, who were advocates for brilliance, you know, inside NASA, wherever it came from. And that's why I was so excited to find out about and to really present in the book Dorothy Vaughan. So Dorothy Vaughan, she started out like many women, and specifically like many Black women, as a teacher. She was working at R.R. Moton High School, the Black high school in Farmville, Virginia,
right.
when she came to Hampton, Virginia in 1943 during World War II. She started out working as a computer, you know, as the rest of these women did, but she was eventually promoted to the head of the segregated West Area Computing Office. And, you know, Katherine Johnson started her career, you know, working for Dorothy Vaughan. Mary Jackson started her career working for Dorothy Vaughan. You know, a number of other women, you know, also worked with Mrs. Vaughan. And she was a fierce advocate, you know, for these women and their talent. And as Katherine Johnson told me, Ms. Vaughan knew her girls. You know, part of the supervisor's job is to know who's the right person for the right job. And she was the one who sent Katherine Johnson to the flight research division where Katherine was able to do her best work. So, you know, just as we, you know, we celebrate the people who get to, you know, the top of the mountain. But, you know, what I really wanted to do in this book and really is underscored by the title Hidden Figures, you know, so many layers of hidden figures. It was really important for me to go back to the beginning and show the people who offered their shoulders to so that the next generation could climb up and move up to the next level.
If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Margot Lee Shetterly, author of Hidden Figures, The American Dream, and the Untold Story of the Black Women Mathematicians Who Helped Win the Space Race. Margot, obviously, there wasn't a lot of material written about these ladies. How did you know, or where did you go to start?
Well, you know, the thing that's really interesting about this story is even though there wasn't a lot that had been written about them, there was evidence of them everywhere.
Okay.
You know, and the very first thing that I want to do here today is to say, to give a huge thank you to the Black press, to the Black newspapers, and very specifically to the Norfolk Journal and Guide, which was the Black newspaper in southeastern Virginia, and, you know, stretched, had, you know, kind of influence into North Carolina and some of the surrounding area. If it were not for the Norfolk Journal and Guide, this story would have been lost forever. So one of the great discoveries, you know, after I talked with Mrs. Johnson, and, you know, that's where I first heard the name Dorothy Vaughan. She said, listen, Dorothy Vaughan's the smartest person I ever knew. You know, when somebody like that says something like that, you take notes and you follow it up, which is what I did. But, you know, one of the great discoveries, one of the great aha moments of this was finally through the archives of the Norfolk Journal and Guide, finding a newspaper article from May 1943 showing an image of 11 Black women who had gone through a war training class, basically, you know, qualifying them to do this work over, you know, across town. This was at Hampton Institute. It was then called Hampton University now,
right.
But in Hampton, Virginia, historically Black college. And once they went through this war training class that had been set up at Hampton Institute, they were qualified to take the civil service exams and apply for jobs at the Langley Laboratory across town. So, you know, the headline of this article, huge headline, paving the way for women engineers. and there were 11 women, the first 11 graduates of this program, who went on to take their seat in the West Area Computing Office. So I cannot say how grateful I am strongly enough to the Black press and for their role, you know, in preserving that history and making it possible for me to recover it. So beyond that, I got sources in the Daily Press, which is the white paper, if you will, in Hampton, Virginia. You know, back issues of the NASA employee newsletters. And I have to give another shout out here to NASA. They have been extraordinarily supportive of this history. They have helped me at every turn, you know, recovering photos and documents and research. So, and then of course the women themselves, you know, Mrs. Johnson has done us all a tremendous favor by living a long and fruitful, you know, very productive life and being still so charismatic and so in control of her own story and telling it so well. You know, I had the honor of spending a lot of time with her and interviewing her and interviewing her family, interviewing the families of Dorothy Vaughan and Mary Jackson, interviewing Christine Darden, who's in her 70s now. She's the baby of the group, who is you know, ended up being a superstar, you know, a rock star rocket scientist, maybe we could call her that, who really did go to the top as a sonic boom specialist, aeronautical engineer. So it really, you know, it really was a matter of kind of uncovering the pieces. I feel like I didn't discover something, because these women were always there, but I did uncover it. It was really a matter of just putting the pieces together.
Why was it important for you to write the narrative to include the race and gender disparity of the time?
Well, there's simply no other way to do it. I mean, what I did was I wanted to make a very true representation of these women and their lives. And if you were an African-American during those times, then you know, there was no way that you got around these issues of racial discrimination. If you were a woman during this time, you didn't get around the gender discrimination. You know, we're talking about a time when, you know, in a lot of states, women couldn't serve on juries. You know, women couldn't get credit cards in their own names. These were just the facts of these women's lives. So any honest portrayal of their lives and of those times have to include those issues, you know. And but what I really wanted to do, and to turn this from something, you know, that could have just been a history book, and I think really interesting, the history is really interesting, but to an account of the lives of the women, I really wanted it to be shown through their eyes and as authentically as possible, getting the reader to experience what these women experienced.
I noticed in the book, and I was kind of joyful when I read it, the women didn't only think of themselves, they thought about the people that was going to come behind them. So they policed themselves. They checked each other's work. They made sure when they came to work, they came to work as professionals.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, this is the thing that you know, I think, you know, probably most African-Americans kind of have an awareness of, and, you know, and it affects our lives and the things that we do. But, you know, there is this issue of being acting not just for yourself, but for the community, and knowing that if you present a certain, you know, image of African-Americans, then, you know, somebody may see that and make generalizations about it, you know. And so these women were like, well, if people are going to generalize about African-Americans, we're going to make it as positive as possible. What we want to do, you know, is to change the idea of what it means to be African-American, to change the idea of what it means to be a woman, to be a scientist, you know, and to really show the world and others, you know, within the community, perhaps as much as anything, people in the community, that there is no conflict between being a Black person, a female person, and an American person, and a scientist, that can be, those identities can all reside comfortably in the same person. That's what those women did.
For individuals that have a rudimentary understanding of flight and flying, how were you able to articulate what happened in their work where the average person was able to understand what you're kind of conveying in your stories?
Well, I was very lucky that, you know, you grow up with a research scientist father, and, you know, you did do your calculus homework. So fortunately, you know, I had enough of a grounding from my studies of math and science to, you know, to not be afraid of those things. But I really did have to kind of sit down with these research reports and, you know, books and so that I understood the concept, you know, what does make things fly, you know, in the most basic way, and then a little bit more than that so that, you know, I could then comfortably know that I had enough of a clear understanding of the concepts that I can explain it to someone else. Now, you're not going to call me up and ask me to do anything close to the work that Katherine Johnson did. You know, that I'm not that person. But, you know, I really did enjoy kind of rolling up my sleeves with the technical information and kind of geeking out, you know, on a lot of the work that they did. You know, I really did love it. You know, I kind of felt as I was going through and learning about the airplanes, mm-hmm. that if I had read this book, you know, if this book were available to me to read when I were younger, then maybe I would be an aeronautical engineer. You know, my dad was on the space side, and I always thought that was really glamorous and really exciting and so cool. But for whatever reason, it was something about the airplanes, you know, and studying the airplanes, which was really how they all started. You know, it's like the airplanes came before space, just like A. Philip Randolph came before Martin Luther King. And for whatever reason, I just got absolutely entranced by this work that they were doing to make airplanes safer and fly faster and fly farther.
I found it interesting how you, when you just articulated about airplanes and then towards the space program as being a progression, and how you intertwine the Tuskegee Airmen and the planes in which they eventually flew from the work that these women did.
Oh, yes. There were so many connections. You know, I just could not believe the connections in the story. That was one of the really kind of really like entrancing parts of this. You know, I'd probably still be doing the research if my publisher didn't say, hey, you'd have to write the book. But, you know, there were just so many connections. And the idea that this plane, you know, this P-51 Mustang, which was, you know, one of the critical planes in the World War II war effort, and the plane that the Tuskegee Airmen flew, you know, the idea that these Black women were there at Langley doing research, you know, and calculating the numbers and, you know, taking the tests from wind tunnels to make that plane, you know, like what, you know, pilots from that era described as the best plane in the world. It was just wonderful. It just goes to show that, you know, it's not that these stories or that history is not being made by African Americans, by women, by immigrants, you know, all of these groups that we tend to see as separate. All of these groups, all of us are here making history in America, this great American epic, you know, but what I believe our challenge is, you know, for all of us here who know those stories, is we have to tell them, we have to make those connections. You know, we have to show the people who are there making history. And then we do that, you know, we connect all of us to the great American story. We make that American story greater, you know, for the fact of bolstering it with all of our stories.
Margo, what was your reaction when someone came to you about making a movie out of your book?
Well, I mean, that is, you know, first of all, you know, having somebody agree to publish your book, you know, I'm a first-time author.
Right.
So the fact of just the book being published was felt like a real achievement to me. I was really glad. And then when my literary agent got it into the hands of the movie people, you know, and mm-hmm. it was a woman named Donna Gelati. She's a producer, you know, very high-profile Hollywood producer who worked on Shakespeare in Love, Silver Linings Playbook, you know, so that's the level we're talking about. She called me up. I remember this. I was in Hampton, home doing research. I was coming from a meeting with Mrs. Johnson and Katherine Johnson at, you know, her residence there in Newport News. And I pulled over to a supermarket parking lot to take the call. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, Donna Gelati. And she said, listen, we are going to make a movie of your book. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, I haven't even finished the book. It was a book proposal. And I was still working on the book, still figuring out what it meant to write a book. And here is this person, this very high profile person saying, you know, basically, look, we're going to make a movie. So that's a little pressure, you know, mm-hmm. that felt like a lot of pressure. But the thing about it is she read in that proposal what I think everybody is reading in the book and feeling when they see the movie, which is the transformative power of these women, you know, the everyday courage of these women, the, you know, the excitement of the work that these women did. She saw that and it captured her, you know, and really the fact that this movie is happening on such a quick timetable, and that there are, you know, Academy Award winning, Golden Globe winning, Emmy Award winning, you know, extremely popular, you know, successful Hollywood people involved with this is really because of her, you know. And I think it's another instance where everybody needs a champion. You know, the Hidden Figures film had a champion in this woman who saw herself in these women. You know, Dorothy Vaughan championed the work of Katherine Johnson and put her in the right place so that, you know, when the right time came, she was able to do her best work. You know, so it's just, there were so many just connections of people seeing talent and seeing, you know, good stories and seeing things around these women and the work that they did, and just, you know, feeling that they had to bring it forward to other people.
We as journalists, we have questions to ask you regarding the book, but traveling around the country doing interviews, what have been some of the questions that the audience have asked?
Well, you know, with a question that people sometimes ask that, you know, it's kind of curious, is people sometimes don't believe it's a true story. You know, and I have to tell them, listen, this is not fiction. These women did the work. You know, mm-hmm. they really existed. They really did this. They really, I can show you the NASA documents, you know, if you want, you know, but I think that there's so few of these stories where it's really a great sweeping narrative, heroic characters, protagonists, these African-American women. Yes, it is absolutely true. You know, a lot of times people, you know, want to know how I wrote the book, you know, which is an interesting question. You know, it took 6 years. I spent a lot of time researching, like we were talking about before, just mm-hmm. immersing myself in the details of what happened before I could even really start writing in, you know, in the way that I wanted to. So, you know, and I tell a lot of the questions involved, how do I get in touch with Katherine Johnson? You know, I mean, she is somebody who, you know, for obvious reasons, everyone would love to spend time with. You know, I'm so lucky to have spent time with her.
Margot Lee Shetterly, author of Hidden Figures, The American Dream and the Untold Story of the Black Women Mathematicians Who Helped Win the Space Race. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions at your future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.